is Steve Sherlock with another Franklin Matters radio show, number 227 in the series. This session of the radio show was recorded virtually. The three of us connected via conference bridge, and aside from a couple of brief bits of background noise, the conversation recording went very well at this new social distance. As you'll hear, I was joined by Town Administrator Jamie Helen and Marketing Communications Specialist Anne-Marie Tracy. Anne-Marie provided updates from Superintendent Ahern. Among the updates, distance learning, school grounds closed, food service, breakfast and lunch available to children in Franklin who are not necessarily Franklin public school students as well, all can be picked up at the high school Monday through Friday. More details on the school closing and what it really means will be coming from the superintendent. And all communications from the superintendent have been translated into multiple languages and posted on their webpage. Jamie was scheduled to get out for a walk later Friday. We did record this at noon. Because he had been so busy this week, he had not been able to do so. He provided multiple updates on the Town of Franklin business still being conducted, pointing to the town portal for updates and details. Please check in at least daily. Please continue to follow recommendations to maintain social distancing, washing hands, etc. The town council, school committee, and board and other committee meetings going forward, how to conduct them remotely is being worked out, so stay tuned on that front. The budget timeline has been rescheduled. FinCom meetings are now going to be after Memorial Day. Town council budget hearings have been moved to a week in June. There were other topics along the way in this conversation, but this should be enough of a teaser to have you spend a few minutes to listen. The audio segment runs about 40 minutes, so please listen into my conversation with Jamie and Anne-Marie.
Cool. Well, thank you. For the folks who haven't necessarily heard the voices, we're welcoming Jamie Helen, our town administrator, and Anne-Marie Tracy, our communications specialist. And I know you've got a longer title, but we can put that aside for the moment.
That's okay. Yeah.
As we do this Franklin Matters radio virtually for the first time, but probably unfortunately not for the last, but we'll get into that as we go. So thank you both for joining and connecting today.
Thank you, Steve.
And Anne-Marie, I think we'll start with you. You've got some school updates. I know you talked with the superintendent this morning.
I did. And yes, we definitely have a few updates that we would like to share. Obviously, everyone knows at this point that there's an executive order issued for all schools to be closed until April 7th. There's been a little bit of misinformation about exactly what that means. So I just want residents and families to know that there'll be more information coming soon from the superintendent's office in regards to what exactly the closure means through April 7th. Distance learning is underway. Our teachers are using Google Classroom, Google Hangouts, and lots of other means of communications to reach out and connect with their students. The focus right now is on relationships and maintaining the connections while also providing enrichment opportunities for the students to participate in at home. If anyone is curious about all the communications that have gone out, every communication from the school has been posted to our website. So if anyone is looking for information that they may have seen passing in an email and would like to revisit it, if you can't find it in your own email, it is all available on our website at franklinps.net. We're also translating all of the memos and information into multiple languages to ensure accessibility. So that is also available. The main thing that not only Superintendent Ahern and the entire school staff wants to really push is just the importance of social distancing. Today they made the announcement that they're going to be closing all of the grounds of the schools, not just the actual buildings, which is important because we've seen lots of kids out and we know they're trying to have fun, and it's just not really a great time for that type of a thing. So all the track and the fields and playgrounds that are associated with our school buildings are also going to be closed moving forward. And that's just to really protect everyone, not just ourselves, but also just our community and, you know, our neighboring communities, just to really focus on the importance of the social distancing for our families and our community as a whole. The other thing that we really wanted to make sure people knew about is that our food services department is open Monday through Friday to provide children in Franklin with takeout options for breakfast and lunch. And it's not just for students who go to Franklin Public Schools. Any child in Franklin who would benefit from a takeout breakfast or lunch is certainly welcome to come to Franklin High School. There, if you go to the rear of the building, there is a driveway access where you can pick that up, and it's open between the hours of 11:30 and 1. So it is important for people to know how to get that and that it is available to children throughout town, not just students in Franklin schools. We also recognize that there are still so many questions regarding to just in reference to the situation we're in right now, whether it's MCAS or grades, SATs, what will happen if the closure is extended. And we're aware of that. The school department is very aware that there's so many unanswered questions right now. And it's a new situation, and we are all dealing with unprecedented challenges. And there'll be more information shared as soon as we have answers. And as we learn to navigate this current state of new normal, we appreciate everyone's support, and we're doing the best to keep everyone informed in the fluid situation as we can. As soon as we have more information, we will be sharing it in every way that we possibly can, whether it's through email, through our website, through our social media connections. So just know that we're giving you information as soon as we are able. And we hope everyone is taking care of themselves, taking care of their families, taking care of each other, their neighbors, and from a distance, and that we'll get through it. You know, we'll hang in there and get through it.
Yes. Thank you for that. I think it certainly reinforces a couple of pieces. The town, which we'll get into, certainly closed the playgrounds, and I saw some of the signs going up on those yesterday in my walks around. The other piece I'll add, at least to reinforce, is it's not to say you can't go outside. It's not to say you can't stop playing. We're just making sure that, or you're making sure, and the town is certainly reinforcing that the playgrounds, particularly because of the equipment and the nature of this particular incident, that's not the best place to go. But you can still walk, still maintain exactly social distance while walking. There are still trails that are still open.
Yes, take a walk in your neighborhood, you know, play in your yard with your family, but avoiding the group situations, the large groups on the, you know, the public equipment and on the fields, that's really just needs to be halted for the time being.
Absolutely, yeah. And certainly we'll continue to do what we can do. I've been sharing out your info and the school page and the town portal page, so that people can get accurate info from the trusted sources, and make sure that if they do hear things, make sure they come back to the trusted source to find out whether it's true or not. And don't be afraid to ask, but don't spread something until you really know it's accurate.
That's right.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So segueing a little bit, Jamie, I know in the town council meeting recently you were bemoaning that you've been so busy you haven't had a chance to walk. Is that still on your schedule for today?
It is, Steve. I hope that by the end of the day I'll finally go up, be able to walk the huge conservation area in my that I'm lucky enough to live next to, and you know, take a walk around. So it is still on the schedule. Absolutely. I think that it reinforces a point that I think a couple of councilors made last night, but Councilor Kelly certainly, I think, was one of the louder ones about it. We're not restricting people from going outside. This isn't, you know, some, you know, crazy order yet from anyone that to say we can't do anything. I think that trying to go out in the backyard and or down to the town common or down to the state forest or any of the other town forests, you know, the parking lots may be locked, the dog park may be locked, the school playgrounds may be locked, but There are some excellent nature trails in town. You know, it also is an opportunity for people to go other places. You know, the other trails and parks that I'm aware of in terms of hiking, you know, are open as well. It's going to be 70 degrees today. So I think the message is that, you know, it's still good to go outside and get a little bit of exercise. The cautionary tale and that delicate balance, obviously, Steve, is that people really need to make sure that while they're doing that, they are not doing it in gatherings. This is unquestionably not the time for sleepovers, backyard barbecues, family reunion, big gatherings. Most notably, social distancing gatherings is a thing that we are hearing a lot of concern from a lot of residents. I've gotten emails and phone calls from a lot of residents telling me about 30 kids that are on this street, this neighborhood, you know, that they're getting together to practice the 5-6 feet. And even that, I think, at this point, is something that we would try to actually ask people to refrain from. I think when we get together, it's awfully difficult. I think it's human nature that we want to interact. We want to play sports. We want to throw the ball around. We want to tackle, you know, whatever the sport is. We want to have contact. But it's just simply too risky right now to have anybody out having these large-scale gatherings in town. I know that there's been a lot of concern from people, from various sources, to your point a minute ago, Steve, about where you get the facts from. I know we live in a society in America that prides itself on individualism, and we want to maintain that that sense of self. But blowing off these recommendations at this time, and kind of thumbing your nose to that this isn't really a big threat, you know, I'm young, I'm healthy, you know, all these cliches that, as we're seeing, are actually people are really, you know, coming in sometimes with that attitude. That is something that we really need to call people out on, unfortunately. And as much as that's professionally and personally difficult for me to say, it's something that we heard loud and clear last night at the council meeting. And we did get, you know, earlier that from the Board of Health, did talk to us earlier on our conference call with department heads that the software called Maven that the State Department of Public Health uses to track all the quarantines and to track the cases throughout Massachusetts. The good news is Franklin has had very, very limited numbers of people that they've had to mandate into isolation or quarantine. And luckily, fortunately enough, we haven't had any confirmed cases of the virus. The only way we're going to prevent that from happening and continuing that trend is if people buck up and really adhere to these social distancing guidelines, really check with the town, as well as Franklin TV and Franklin Radio, Steve. These are trusted sources that we can continue to get this information out from, as well as obviously the CDC and the Massachusetts Department of Public Health and our legislative and congressional delegation. You know, we need to keep that trend alive. All it takes is one person, and the next thing you know it, we've got 100 people with it. And that was really the logic behind closing the school playgrounds, the parks and playgrounds, in town this week, which was probably one of the more difficult decisions I've certainly had to make all week.
Yeah, I can concur. But from my risk and technology background, this is a risk management piece, and we just can't afford to take the risk at this point in time. There's too many unknowns. So,
and if you watch the news, obviously, you know, as it's coming in, I'm sitting here on the phone with you, listening to Anne Marie, and Andrew Cuomo pops up that he's essentially asked all businesses in New York to suspend their employees from coming in other than grocery stores, food manufacturing, things of that sort. So you can see with New York and California making these bold decisions early, obviously Governor Newsom and Governor Cuomo are not making these decisions without really good people around them advising them that they need to get out ahead of this. Those are the two of the largest populated states in the country. And And if that does not tell you that there's a risk, I don't know what else will heed that message.
Yeah. These are going to be trying times, but we will get through it. And yeah. The key piece, I think, is just making sure we realize we are all human. And yeah. We do have some things that we need to maintain, including our health, both mental health and physical health. And those are the basics.
Yeah, absolutely.
To that end, clearly you're doing a bunch behind the scenes and then updating the portal on a regular basis.
Yep. So good plug for the portal, www.franklinma.gov. Our town website right on the front. You can't miss it. There's a coronavirus portal. As folks will hopefully see, we've been working to organize this. We've been looking to organize this more and more each day. And we have an update here each day. The big updates right now is that trash and recycling pickup is continued on their normal schedule. All the municipal parks and playgrounds and school playgrounds are closed. The drive-through window is going to be suspended at Town Hall. As I also have on there, we are closing all public facilities with some extremely rare situations like public safety, first responders, the water sewer staff, etc. We are closing all of our public facilities to all of our public employees. We have spent this week getting all of our staff remotely working on VPN. All of our customer service departments are still wide open for business. The phone numbers all have a point person in every department where the voicemails from those major phone lines are going to go. So if anybody out there has a question or a concern, they can still call the department and someone will call them back that day. We also have on our website a email contact for each department as well. So our business is still moving along. To your point, Steve, you know, the business of Franklin continues to move. It's just the medium at which we're doing it is a little different than what people normally do. We cannot allow anybody into our buildings. We've been sanitizing them on a weekly basis, sometimes more frequently, depending on the activity.
Sure.
Which has unfortunately led to me closing all of those buildings and schools to everybody, including our employees. And one of the challenges that we're going to be facing in the next week that I'll be working on is how do we allow our public bodies like the planning board, the town council, the school committee, the conservation commission, and the zoning board of appeals, most notably with some of the most critical business, the board of health, obviously as well.
Sure.
How do we provide them a place to work? The governor has suspended the open meeting law and allowed us to conference in like we're doing right now to do meetings.
Yep.
But there's a lot of challenges that are associated with that in terms of public comment, public interaction. Certain applications at the planning board have been getting 50, 60, 70, 80 people in attendance. What's the return on investment from doing a call like this? We have to work through those things, and we have worked with our legislators to try to work on some of those issues. You know, right now they're dealing with where the election season is going. And I think in short notice, they'll be working on some of those other issues for us. I would make a quick plug for the Franklin Public Library. Their spirit and energy and innovation never cease to amaze us. Callie and Bree and Mitzi of the Youth Services Department and Kim Shapala, our deputy director, have all been working on a series of children programs for the week. Much like you're seeing today with a lot of artists and singers and entertainers going to Twitter and Facebook and Instagram to keep people at home engaged throughout the country, our library staff is going to continue to have programs throughout the next weeks ahead. They're going to have story times every other day online. They're going to continue to do the teen advisory board meeting virtual. So people really out there, if they're looking for things to do, we can always count on the public library. Check in on their website, check in our portal, and check in with them for a lot of fun stuff to do throughout the next couple weeks. The last thing I would mention is a couple of other updates. Dog licensing renewal time is still on track for April 1st. people can go to our online viewpoint portal right on the homepage of our website and go in and pay their fee to register their dog. Everything is able to be done online. Number two, all of our typical applications and permits and processes and online payments for water, sewer, trash bills, car excise tax bills, as well as the property tax bills that will be mailed out in a few weeks for quarter four. All of those bill pays are used online. As I think, Steve, you might have heard last night I mentioned, this week we saw a record-breaking amount in one day of online payments, which is really good news.
Mm-hmm.
And I think as we look forward over the few weeks ahead, people are going to need to utilize those sources. But make no mistake, we still are open for business that people pay with cash or check. We have a white Dropbox that people on the side of town hall next to the drive-through. When you get that bill and you still pay by check, or money order, you can still drop that off in that white Dropbox. Staff will be checking that on a routine basis. And that's another place where people can drop off their census forms. If people are out there still filling out their census forms that they probably recently got in the mail in the last few weeks, please make sure people understand the United States Census is not taking a breather from this. It's something that people obviously need to still fill out. We're encouraging everybody to drop it off in the white Dropbox, mail it into the town hall while you're at home. It is critical that people even given the fact that we've had this coronavirus issue pop up, it is critical that people use the time at home to fill out that census and send it in.
I would concur and second those. I've used the online services for a bit, particularly for the water, sewer, trash recycling, and the excise taxes, and those are quick and easy payments. You can schedule those. They don't have to come immediately, so you still have that flexibility of taking the float, if you will, from a check perspective.
Yep. Great point.
That still works. I think this, as we define the new normal in terms of how we're going to conduct meetings, you're still defining the new normal. You've got the electronic, the online versions, and you still have some of the, quote, the old way in terms of the paper check with the Dropbox, the box or mailbox and by the side. So,
yep. Full service organization. I think as you heard last night at the council meeting, I think we're just continuing as normal. The only difference is the mediums at which we have available to do it. And really the only medium that has dropped off for citizens to be able to continue to do stuff is the ability to walk in. In some ways, what we might go through over the next month or so, is probably just a cue for what's going in the future anyway. Where the online payments and permitting are so easy and customer service friendly that I think you'll just continue to see that become a new normal as well, where people are just using the online features a lot more than they used to in the past.
Agreed. And I think having been in the corporate environment, which certainly in some cases we're on the technology bleeding edge, which is not always where you want to be, but the government sector is going to have to move. Is being forced to move into some of these technologies, whether it's a Google Hangout, this kind of a Zoom meeting, Skype. There's a number of products that are out there in that space. And then working out the protocols. So, how do you raise your hand to ask a question and still have the planning board process or the town council process or whatever the meeting is still getting conducted in a formal but structured way, enabling access. And access, I think, is going to be the key piece because some of us have laptops, some of us have Wi-Fi, not everybody does. So that's going to be one of the key pieces that we're as a country, not just Franklin alone.
That's right.
We have to develop and figure out, particularly on the school side, because as much as we're doing for some of the students, there's some students that even, kindergartners, they're not necessarily going to be able to go online to do something. Still need to provide them kind of an opportunity as well. Those are just examples. I don't want to take a whole lot of time because these are questions that, as Anne Marie said earlier, we don't have all the answers to the questions. You don't have them. They'll be developed over time.
And that's why it's important that citizens, I think, on a daily basis, whether it's in the morning or in the afternoon, but at least once a day, folks that have a phone or a laptop or the internet connection, you know, they need to really check our portal on a daily basis to just see what the baseline updates are. And even if someone doesn't have an internet connection, if due to income requirements or if they're elderly or they're, you know, live alone or whatever, at least maybe somebody else, when they see that update, can call their parent, can contact their friend who may not have that access and continue to keep them in the loop of the latest that's going on, because it's changing every day. No question about it.
It is. Yeah, we need to maintain. Yeah, we need to maintain the social network, albeit at a bit of a distance every time we do meet. But we do need to maintain that social network.
Yep.
One other piece along the line of what we were talking to, Chloe, the budget is another discussion line of conversation. I think you're adjusting that schedule based on the circumstances.
That's right, Steve. That's a great question. So last night I got into it a little bit. I haven't formally posted everything, but we're looking to move the town council hearings till the middle of end of June to the last possible time frame we can, so that we can get better state budget numbers. Obviously they're dealing with their own issues relative to this pandemic, but you know, we thought it was prudent to one, you know, wait for those state budget numbers for state aid and see what's going to happen there. And number two, give us some additional time to revisit our revenue projections. You know, from the comptroller, you know, we felt very confident based on trends and our typical revenue policies to be able to come up with a fiscally responsible revenue projection for next year. Mm-hmm. And obviously I would, you know, say without hesitation that is certainly in jeopardy. I can't sit here and say that what I saw 2 weeks ago is exactly the same as today. I don't think anybody would expect me to. No, I think it's also important to mention that while we've kicked the town council meetings out until hopefully mid to late June, we're also going to postpone the FinCom dates until right after Memorial Day. So the week of Memorial Day, actually, and then after, you know, we're going to have those hearings. And hopefully that'll give us enough time to get the Senate budget numbers as well, and we'll know a little bit more of where we stand and be able to take up those revenue projections. The big concern I have, usually in these types of times, it takes a while for any type of economic disturbance to it takes a little while for it to settle into the property tax portion of the revenue collections, and property taxes make up for well over 2/3 of our property, of our entire revenue for the town, almost 3/4. And so that's a good thing as long as there's no complete collapse of the housing market within the next month. But we could see see some of that, you know, by the end of the next fiscal year, which is really, you know, 2021. Right. The bigger concern I have is really around local receipts, you know, liquor license fees, common vitriol fees, building permit fees.
Yep.
When we see a slowdown like this, especially a screeching halt that we've essentially come to, the big concern is really about, you know, where the small business community is going to be in Franklin, where the corporate businesses are going to be in Franklin, and what do they see as a result of, you know, this, and whether or not our local receipts, we can count on the same revenue projection from next year. And also, as I mentioned a minute ago, the big concern obviously is going to be state aid. As I put in my memo earlier this year, as you probably picked up, Steve, you know, we saw based on the governor's budget, a net decrease in state aid due to the charter school assessment last year. And we all know that with the Student Opportunity Act that was passed, it's going to be a phase in over 7 years, but they just passed that in November. The governor's budget didn't necessarily reflect, I know for a fact, what the House and the Senate were going to do. So we're confident that those numbers were lower than they should be. But it doesn't, obviously, this is throwing a big monkey wrench into everybody's plans up on Beacon Hill. And so that's going to stem down the local government. So where state aid is for this year coming up is certainly going to be a challenge. I would hope that the state legislature sees this as an opportunity to, use some of the rainy day funds if need be, to get cities and towns through FY21. And obviously by that time, by the end of FY21, a year from now, we will have obviously much more clarity than we do today or tomorrow on what exactly the depth of this economic disturbance could be. I'm very cautious, by the way, of using the word recession. You know, Americans are a resilient country. You know, obviously it does not look positive in terms of the spread of this virus, but when you come to a screeching halt like this, it's very rare. And we don't know what that's going to look like. You need 2 quarters of GDP loss to actually formally have a recession. And so I'm really treating this as an economic disturbance right now. There very well may be a declared recession at some point, but you know, we really do need to see how the government is going to control the spread of this disease. And we really need to understand the scope of the problem in New England, in Massachusetts. And I think as long as we can get to that place in the next month with the test kits, the protective gear, and the knowledge of how many people have this, where are those people, where have they traveled, have we done the right things to quarantine the right people to prevent the spread of this disease, if we can turn that around in the next couple, 2 to 3 months, you know, I think that Americans and Franklinites will be resilient and respond to that. And so it's just too early on my level to be able to predict the economic calamity that many in the media are already predicting, obviously.
No, a lot of crystal balls are usually built on past experience, and this crystal ball I don't think has ever been built yet. So, no.
Absolutely not. This is a whole new, that's a good way to put it. There's a lot of crystal balls out there. You know, I have my own crystal ball. I mean, I have to. You know, and we look at a lot of data. Obviously, data is mixed with a little bit of a qualitative feel to. I mean, a qualitative feel to it as well about what people are feeling.
Sure.
But that's what I mean. I think that the key issue right now is really just fully understanding the scope of the problem. I've made it very clear to our legislative delegation and the Senate president, who's been very gracious to touch base with our office very frequently. The test kit issue has got to be the number one priority. We have to know the scope of this. And if we can understand the scope of this, we can target the response much more directly.
Yep.
And if we can make people feel that they're not susceptible to this anymore, or that they're in a safe place with their children or families, and that people are taking a test versus positive or negative, and they can get a swab and they can get a confirmation one way or the other, I think psychologically that'll help a lot of people. It's going to help me. I have a bad allergy season. I have horrible allergies.
Right.
And, you know, people are sneezing and coughing, and they're worried that a sneeze or a cough is the coronavirus, when maybe it's just their seasonal allergies.
Yeah.
It is March. It's usually a very sick month for people in Massachusetts.
It is. I mean, blossoms are just about to come out, and everything is going to be out there. So, yeah.
It's already out there. According to my body, Steve, it's already well out there. The blossoms have happened. And as I look out my window at trees, it's there. And I think that that's the key issue. And it looks like, from what I've read and what I've been on my calls with the Mass Municipal Association and the governor's office and the state management, emergency management agency, you know, I will give Senator Spilka and Representative Roy and Senator Rausch a lot of credit. I think that they've responded to my complaints quickly, and urging the test kit issue has got to be more widespread, and we've got to do all that we can to do that. And they have taken several actions on that. So hopefully in the next couple weeks, we'll see a ramping up of that. And, you know, we have seen a ramping up of that this week. One of the little factoids that doesn't get thrown up there often that I'm a little neurotic about looking at, if I can, Steve, is the Mass Emergency Management Agency sends out a report every night of the total amount of test kits that have been processed in Massachusetts with the infection rate. And while the Boston Globe or other institutions report on nothing more than just how many people have a positive case or a presumptive case, it's important to note that if you look at the statistics, if they were published a little bit more readily, if you looked at the statistics where the total amount of test kits that have been processed versus the infected number, that rate over the last week since last Friday has actually been going down from about a 17% return infectious rate to last night it was 10.5. So we know that with more test kits, you know, people should be getting their knowledge back, and hopefully that makes people then take extra precautions, and hopefully it makes them feel better. So
to reinforce your point, knowledge certainly helps us control the situation because we'll know where to target. But again, reinforcing CDC, Board of Health, and other trusted sources, only if you have, you know, the specific symptoms and have talked with your healthcare person, then that's where you should get a test. It's not meant for everybody to get tested. We don't need to do that.
We do not need to do that. But we do need to be in a place where if one, obviously the state has a protocol for who gets tested and who gets priority on those tests for symptomatic issues, which makes all the sense in the world, as well as that information that they may have if they were at a place where there was a confirmed case. But I also do believe that if people are worried and they haven't been able to get a test yet, you know, we're hoping that the governor and everybody else will put into motion the resources and the ability to be able to get that test. If it's not this week or next week or a couple weeks, at least down the road as we continue to try to build ourselves out of this throughout spring and summer.
Sure. Well, I think we've covered kind of the three main pieces, well, four considering schools, not to be totally honest there, because there's certainly when I consider town, it's town and school together. So thank you, Anne Marie, for providing the superintendent's updates. Jamie, of course, for your time and providing the updates. We'll reinforce, obviously, social distancing, washing hands, refer to the portal. In addition to those, is there anything else in particular that we hadn't discussed that you want to reference before we kind of wrap it up?
I think everything's good on my level. I think the big challenge going ahead is going to be finding out how we have our public bodies continue to meet. It's going to be a very complicated challenge, but we're going to rise to the occasion. And to just make sure that people obviously adhere to those distancing guidelines, take precautions, take this seriously, and try to do the best we can to help everybody out. You know, we've all had to do it a little bit. It's very uncomfortable. We sometimes have to call out our neighbors. We have to call out bad behavior. We're really at a critical state, a point in time where we still have the ability and the control to be able to turn this thing around in the near future. And I think that, you know, maybe I'm an eternal optimist, but as I look at the stats, I see a situation we can correct. And right now, the most important thing every family can do is realize that the way life was 3 weeks ago is not the same life it is anymore. And we've got to do everything we can to protect ourselves and our family and to make sure that we stay at home for the next couple weeks. We only go out for things that we really need, prescriptions, you know, groceries, medical appointments, limiting it to those things and making sure that we do what we need to do, that everybody's already heard about washing their hands and all that stuff. You know, we can turn this around, but this is a moment where we have to act together. We have to know that we're all in this together. We have to understand that every single thing we do, we have to consider ourselves as if we have it. And what are we going to do to prevent someone else from getting it? We can't be thinking, what if I get it? We have to be treating ourselves as if we have it and thinking of this as something that we're not giving it to someone else. And we have to make those hard decisions. The hardest one of all is not touching your face. I think that's what every American has learned this week. I've painfully realized how many times I scratch my nose due to my allergies, but you know, it is true. We really, really need to adhere to these guidelines. And as you mentioned many times, Steve, paying attention to the trusted sources of factual information, which are the CDC, the Massachusetts Department of Public Health, and the Town of Franklin's website portal at www.franklinma.gov. Google it, Franklin Town Portal. You'll get it. And I think that that's the most important message we can leave off with today.
Indeed.
Agreed.
And certainly on behalf of my fellow collaborators with Franklin TV and radio, we'll continue to support your efforts in communicating to the best we can to all the residents. Mm-hmm. And we shall get through this. I am hopeful because we are ultimately in it together and we will help each other and get through it together. So
we will. Just in
a distance. Absolutely will. Well, remote
just at
support.
A distance, of course.
Remote support. Yep.
Yes. Well, thank you very much again for your time.
Thank you.
Stop the recording.
This podcast is my public service effort for Franklin, but I can't do it alone. I can always use your help. How can you help? If you can use the information you find here, please tell your friends or neighbors. If you don't like something here, please let me know. Through this feedback loop, we can continue to make improvements, and I thank you for listening. For additional information, please visit franklinmatters.org. If you have questions or comments, you can reach me directly at suresteve@gmail.com. The music for the intro and exit was provided by Michael Clark and the group East of Shirley. The piece is titled Ernesto Mañana, copyright Michael Clark and Tintype Tunes in 2008, and used with their permission. I hope you enjoy.